aina practice. The most important thing to know is that we have Buddha nature. Our practice, real practice happens when realization of Buddha nature take place. Intellectually, we know that we have Buddha nature, and that is what was taught by Buddha. But to know Buddha nature, when you know that we have Buddha nature, at the same time you will know that even though we have Buddha nature, you know, it is rather difficult to accept it. At the same time, we have various evil nature. And Buddha nature is something beyond good and bad. But our everyday life is going in the realm of good and bad. So there's two two fold of duality. One is duality of good and bad, and the other is duality of good and bad, the realm of good and bad, and the realm of the world where there is no good and bad. And our everyday life is going in the realm of good and bad, the realm of duality. And Buddha nature or absolute nature is found in the realm of absolute, where there is no good and bad. Our practice is to go beyond the realm of good and bad and to realize the one absolute world, to enter the one absolute world. It's our practice. If I say in this way, it is it may be rather difficult to understand. Hashimoto Roshi, the famous Zen master who passed away last year, 1967. explained this point. It is, I think I told you once, it is like prepare a food, you know. We prepare a food, various food, separated. Rice is here, and pickles are here, and soup is the middle bowl. We don't cook like a guru all the time. Soup and rice and everything in one bowl. Even though, no. To cook, to prepare food separately, you know. In each bowl is the our usual world of seeming. And, but when you eat it, you know, in your tummy, you know, soup and rice and pickles and everything, gomashio and everything. Mixed up and you don't know what is, which is gomashio or rice. That is the world of absurd. As long as gomashio is gomashio, and separately prepared on the tray, it doesn't work. Like your intellectual understanding of Buddhism, it doesn't work. That is bhuknari. But, you know, so Zazen practice is, you know, to mix various understandings in our practice and let it work. How to let it work is our practice. The other day, by some chance, I talked about kerosene lamp. You know, when kerosene lamp is just oil, you know, kerosene oil, it doesn't work. Kerosene lamp will work when it becomes, when it is in a state of combustion. By aid of air. And even though you have kerosene lamp and air, it doesn't work. When you use matches, you know, it will work. It will start to work. And this flame of matches is our practice, which is transmitted from Buddha to us by aid of matches and by aid of air, kerosene will start to work. This is actually our Zazen practice. You may think, you know, you are just kerosene oil. It doesn't work. Even though you have, you say, I have Buddha nature, you know, it doesn't work. If you have no Buddha, it doesn't work. If you have no friend, no Sangha, it doesn't work. A friend, we practice satsang in this way. By the aid of Sangha, helped by Buddha, we can practice Zazen in its true sense. And we will have bright light here in Tassahara, Zendo. We have a question answer the last day of the session, last day of the session. Question and answer. We'll be going this kind of question and this kind of answer. Back and forth, we should discuss this point. We should know clearly what is our practice and what is our everyday life and how to apply Zazen, how to extend our Zazen practice in everyday life. When you are practicing Zazen in this way, actually, you have a true practice in its true sense. But why? It is difficult for you to extend our practice in city life is because of lack of precise understanding of Zen teaching. when you know why you practice Zazen and what is the most important point in our practice, you can practice our way even though your practice is not perfect. You have direction and you know how to do it. So you will not be mixed up our life. In short, should be always in complete combustion. We should aim at complete combustion in our life. If the flame becomes little smoky, you know. You should know how to adjust the flame, you know. If it's too long, you should make it shorter. You know, if it's too small, you should make it brighter. Actually, you know, in your practice, I think you know your practices, what kind of practice you have. Whether your practice is good or bad, you yourself know. But instead of being discouraged by it, you should know how to adjust the frame. Before you ask questions, you know, you should know how to adjust the frame. Too hard. So-called it enlightenment experience is, of course, important. But more important thing is to know how to adjust the frame of life in Zazen and in our everyday life. When the flame is in complete combustion, you know, you don't smell the oil. When, you know, it is smoky, you have a kind of smell. You know, so, you know, you may realize there's kerosene lamp. When, you know, your life is in complete combustion, you have no complaint. And there's no need to be aware of your practice. But, you know, we should know that if we talk about too much, like me, about Zazen, it is already smoky kerosene lamp. If you see me, you may ask, is there a lecture tonight? maybe I'm very smoky kerosene lamp. I don't want, you know, to give lecture. What I want is to just live with you, moving stones, having a nice hot spring bath, and eat something good. Then is there, you know. When I start to talk about something, it is also smoky. It is already smoky. Kerosene lamp. As long as I give lecture, I have to explain it in terms of right or wrong. This is right practice. This is wrong. How to practice Zazen. It is like to give you a recipe. Recipe doesn't work. You cannot eat recipe. Maybe after having a long, long practice in hot summer weather, it may be good to enjoy to say something and to listen to something. This is, you know, a purpose of practice. I said just now, to know how to adjust Supreme is important. This is actually what Dogen Zenji worked so hard for us descendants. Not just to, usually Zen Master, a Zen Master will give you practice the Zen. Then you will attain enlightenment. If you attain enlightenment, you will be detached from everything. And you will see things as it is. So, if you want to see things as it is, you must practice the Zen hard and attain enlightenment. And that is usually a Zen master will say. But our way is not always so. That is, of course, true. But Dogen Zenji told us how to adjust that frame. Back and forth, he told us in his Shobogenzo. This point. This is one of the characteristics of Soto Zen. In Soto, people say, in Soto, Soto priest doesn't, Soto school doesn't use koan, and they have no koan practice. But Dogen Zenji, after studying koans, and he simplified all the koans in a quite simple forms, as like Tozan Zen in China did. Tozan Zen used 5 ranks. seeming and reality. But Dogen Zen did not use 5 ranks in practice or 5 ranks in seeming and reality. Because Dogen Zen is understanding or teaching of Zen is much simpler than that. Quite simple. The point of Soto Zen, Dogen Zen is to live on each moment in complete combustion, like a kerosene lamp or like a candle. So how to live in each moment? And how to become one with everything and attain oneness of the whole universe. It's the point of his teaching and his practice. I don't think you have not much pain in your legs. Do you have some? It is pretty painful for you to sit now. It doesn't. No. Looks like so. Pretty good, I think. Maybe some pain. And the Zazen practice is very subtle thing. When you are working, you know, something which you do not realize. Mentally and physically, will be realized if you practice that. You know, I have been moving stone for a long time, and I didn't know that I was tired, and I didn't realize my muscles, you know, were tired. But, you know, today, as I sit in this way calmly, so I realize, oh, my muscles are in pretty bad condition. I felt some pain all over, and in my arm, not in my back so much, but here. I have not much breath here, so I haven't not much muscles to be painful, but my bone is painful. You know, if you have no problem, you know, then you may think, then you can practice your Zazen very well. But actually, it is not so. Some problem, you know, is necessary. Not much, but some is possible. Then, as he said, as Dogen Zen said, by the problem you have, by the difficulty you have, you can practice Zazen. This is very I think very meaningful point of that especially in our everyday life. He put great emphasis on this point. So he says, you know, this is very, I think, very meaningful point of that, especially in our everyday life. He put great emphasis on this point. So he says, you know, practice and enlightenment is one. Practice is something, you know, which you do consciously, which you do with effort. There is enlightenment. most Zen masters missed this point. They didn't know how important this point is. They were striving, you know, to attain enlightenment, perfect enlightenment. But actually, you know, the most meaningful point of Zazen is to have enlightenment in our imperfect Zazen. That is, you know, his teaching, and that is how everything exists in this world, actually. Things exist imperfect, nothing perfect. Whatever we see, whatever we hear, things are not perfect. But that imperfect things, there is a perfect reality. This is not just, you know, this is true in intellectual understanding. Intellectually it is true. But in the realm of practice, it is also true. It is true on paper, you know. But it is true also with our body. We can realize how true it is through our physical practice and emotional problems. So, according to him, no, our praxis should be established in delusion. Do you understand? We are all deluded people. And before we attain enlightenment, we should establish our true practice in our delusion. Usually, you know, after you attain enlightenment, you may think, you can establish through practice But it is not so, according to Dogen Zenji. True practice should be established in delusion, in frustration. If you make some mistake, you know, you should establish your practice thereby. There's no other place for you to establish your practice. Enlightenment, we say, but in its true sense, perfect enlightenment is beyond our understanding, beyond our experience. That is true enlightenment. That kind of enlightenment, if so, that kind of enlightenment is in our imperfect practice. Or even in imperfect practice, there is enlightenment. But the problem is that we don't know. And here, again, I want put emphasis on this point. People usually do not trust anything. If they do not actually, if they cannot actually experience it, actually think about it, there are two types of people. The someone some of them cannot trust anything until they understand the things in terms of right or wrong, good or bad. After they analyze a reality in various ways, they understand things and trust things. But some of them become more uneasy, you know, if someone explains something so well, you know, if someone talk about something, analyze something eloquently and very precisely, you know, the more he explains about it, the more you may doubt it. Is that so?